Hey, Nikki, do you want to go camping with me?
Camping? You hate camping.
I just thought I would like to go out and spend a night in the woods.
Oh my God, you're so cheesy. I see what you did there, because today we're talking about Night in the Woods.
And this is Press Any Button. I'm Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And we are indeed talking about Night in the Woods,
ooh,
which is a 2017 single-player adventure game developed by Infinite Fall and published by Finji. The story follows a young woman named Mae Borowski, who drops out of college and returns to her hometown to find unexpected changes. It's very vague.
Very and ominous. Ooh.
Vague and ominous. That's kind of the overarching vibe to this game.
I like it.
And I'll go ahead and put out a spoiler warning. There are some pretty big twists in the story, and we're going to be talking about it, so heads up.
Because the story is the main component of this game.
It is.
Yeah. You ready to get started?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go.
So, Nikki, you got a history for us that doesn't involve camping?
I sure do.
I assume the people who made this game were really big fans of being outside and camping and stuff.
Probably, maybe. I don't know.
Why else would they call it Night in the Woods?
Oh, we'll get to that. So first, I want to start by saying that there are actually three games that take place within this universe, okay?
Wait, there are three games, three different video games?
Three different games that take place within this universe of Mae and her friends and Mae's grandpa and all that stuff.
So did we miss playing a bunch of like prequels before this game?
I guess a little, but from what I read online, you can play them in any order, but maybe we should have played them. I don't know. I didn't know about these other games, so too late now. But the first one came out in December 2013. It's called Longest Night. And then in December 2014, the next one came out called Lost Constellation. Both were released in anticipation of Night in the Woods. So it's almost like the other two games were made to just kind of hype up Night in the Woods.
Oh, so almost like demos.
Sort of. I don't think they're as long or as, like, fleshed out, you know, full games from what it seems like. I haven't played them, though, so.
Okay.
Anyways, but just know there's two other games that take place, like, in the same world.
Okay.
The Longest Night is a simple game that features Mae and her friends watching and tracing the constellations and Lost Constellations expands more on the mythology and themes of the Night in the Woods world, as well as possibly acting as a foreshadowing vehicle for this actual story. The game is kind of like a story within a story, being a fairy tale told to Mae by her granddad.
Okay. So is that kind of like at the very beginning of the game, you're kind of given some options to change?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if
those, it has anything to do with that.
Yeah, if it has anything to do, like if those would have been things you would have decided in a previous game.
Yeah, I don't know. But you do learn in this game that, you know, you do have a grandpa and he does like to read. He has a lot of books. So that makes sense that he would be reading you a story and, like, you might be playing through that story or something.
Yeah.
But anyways, I just did want to mention those two because they're kind of with this game in a way.
Yeah. And I feel like that theme resonates pretty heavily, like, story and a story.
Yeah, exactly. Because
Night in the Woods definitely had lots of story.
Yes, exactly. So Night in the Woods was announced on October 22nd, 2013 via Kickstarter. The goal that they initially started with was 50K, and they achieved that in 26 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they started at 50K because they thought even that might be too much. They didn't think they would hit the 50K. But then they did, and it was crazy. So I guess on Kickstarter, if you exceed your goal, they have these things called stretch goals.
Okay.
Which is kind of, I think, where if you get more money, you can kind of add things to your game. Like, yeah. You can say, oh, well, if we reach 100K, we'll add a new character or something. And so they did a couple of those. But early on, they stopped and evaluated, and they were like, we don't want to do too many of these stretch goals because we still want to make the game that we had in mind. And we don't want to get too far away from that. You know, if we start adding all these things, it's going to become much bigger than our original idea.
So they had too many stretch goals, and they were getting kind of overwhelmed by how much stuff they were potentially going
to
have to add?
No, they just didn't want to have to create more goals just to get more money. They felt like they kind of had enough, and they did add some goals, so they're ready to just make the game. Like, basically stop raising as much money. So because they were able to exceed their goal, though, they were able to hire Infinite Ammo and a game developer named Adam Saltzman to create the roguelike game Demon Tower. Is a mini roguelike game within the game.
I don't know if I'd call it a roguelike game, but it's definitely like a randomized dungeon.
Yeah, well, that's what they call it in the articles and stuff that I read. But in your professional opinion, you're saying not a roguelike, but close.
Yeah, roguelike-esque.
Okay.
It's a very, very simple roguelike. Yeah.
So I think that was one of their stretch goals, was to add that mini game within the game. Because it is kind of like a whole game on its own. And they are also able to hire more animators and things like that.
Okay. So they could afford to have more of a staff with all the money they raised.
Exactly. It took about 3.5 years to create Night in the Woods. And it was finally released in February 2017.
So wait, how many years was that?
3.5 years.
3.5.
To create this game. Do you think it looked like it would take that long to make?
Yeah, I mean, depending on the size of the team, it sounds like it was a pretty small team.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds about right to me.
Yeah. It sounded like it was like 3-4 main people, and maybe like some other people came in and did, you know, some side stuff or some smaller roles. But yeah, seemed like a pretty small team that made it. It won the award for Best Adventure Game in IGN's Best of 2017. And it was also nominated for a lot of other awards, including Giant Bomb's 2017 Game of the Year. And overall, pretty good reviews.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by that, but I guess it was 2017, which is actually quite a while ago at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
I was maybe less enthused about it than maybe some of the other people who reviewed it.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was okay, but like, it didn't really stand out to me as like amazing or like potential Game of the Year type candidate.
Yeah. I also think maybe if it was positioned more as like a graphic novel kind of game, then your expectations are a little more accurate than hearing adventure game. Because
yeah,
I mean, you do go on adventures, but it's more of like storybook adventures. It's not like exciting platforming or
yeah, I almost want
anything like that.
I almost want to call it more of a storybook game as opposed to like either a visual novel or an adventure game, because there is some platforming, but it's very, very light.
Yeah, it doesn't involve any skill, really.
A little bit. You know, there's like a triple jump, and you do have to get on the power lines. Well, you don't have to. It's kind of bonus.
It's very, very basic, very low-level skill is needed for this platforming, I would say.
According to Nikki, you do not have to be good at platforming to platform in this
game. No. Look, trust me. I'm not very good at platforming, so I know the bar's low for this game, okay?
Gotcha.
Yeah, so Eric, are you ready for some fun facts?
Yeah, let's do the facts.
Yeah. All right, so the game title was taken from the first song on the World Inferno Friendship Society. That's a band. Their album called The Bridgewater Astral League. Have you ever heard of the band The World Inferno Friendship Society?
I had not, but you did have me listen to the song before the podcast.
I did.
So I had kind of an idea, and it is a good song. It sounds like something I would have probably listened to in high school. Do you know what year that came out?
Like 1997, I believe. Okay.
Yeah, it kind of has this like ska punk feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do like it. It sounds really good.
Yeah. So not only was the game's title taken from this song, because the song's called A Night in the Woods. This game's just Night in the Woods. It also pulls themes from the song for the story.
I mean, it feels pretty loose. I mean, the song is just about pretty much a group of friends who are kind of dangerous, but also pretty cool, and they'll help you out.
Yeah, I was going to read the first verse of the song, since we can't play the song because copyrights, but
okay, yeah,
I'll read it to you, and you can tell me if you think, you're like, yeah, I can see it. I plan to outlive my enemies, so I'll stick around till that's done. Why don't you come and take a walk with me? I'll tell you something. You would have liked some friends of mine. They made accidents happen. They dig a body from the ground, give you the shirt off its back if you didn't have one.
Oh, that's sweet.
So, you know, the friends sound a little creepy, but also they're there for you. Yeah. And I think that very much describes May's friend group.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of.
And the story, you know.
They kind of remind me of like the Outcast group, the punk group.
Oh, yeah. That was the group I was in.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I definitely hung out with that group at lunch and stuff. And I always was like a big fan of like punk and ska music in high school. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely related to that crowd a lot. Mm-hmm. So,
and A Night in the Woods, the song, it sounded like ska-ish to me.
Yeah.
I actually liked the song. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked it too. I'm actually probably going to go back and listen to more of that band.
Yeah, awesome. All right, fun fact number two. Writers confirmed May is canonically pansexual. This is supported further by a couple of events and lines of dialogue in the game. The first is May is open about her prospective relationship with a male raccoon named Cole, but she openly flirts with a female bear named Bombshell at a party that she attends with B.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. When asked about her dream date, May responds, "Wrestling. I don't care if it's a guy or girl, but they have to be like, grr, because I don't even want to date someone who's not like, girl." So I thought that was kind of interesting, random piece of information. Like, she's not just bi, she's pansexual.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. I also appreciated Greg and Angus's relationship.
They're so cute.
Yeah.
And then fun fact number three, speaking of Angus, while not official in the game, one of the creators of Night in the Woods, Scott Benson, has stated that Angus's singing voice is very similar to that of Dickie Barrett's.
Dickie Barrett's?
Yes.
Who is Dickie Barrett's?
I feel like you should know who Dickie Barrett is. It's like a lead singer of a band that you like, also in the ska genre.
I don't know people or names.
Okay, well, Dickie Barrett is the lead singer of the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Okay, yeah.
So we're gonna get a theme here. I think the creators are into ska music, don't you think?
Yeah. I was never big into Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. I liked that one song, but I was into some other ska bands.
Okay, my bad. I thought you liked more. But yeah, can you imagine Angus's voice sounding like the lead singer of the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones?
Yeah, I cannot.
Me either. It does not look like that is the voice that would come out of him, but it is, apparently. So
yeah, well, cool. Yeah.
All right, and that's all the fun facts I have for today.
Nice. Good fun facts.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought, like, pretty interesting history, pretty interesting game. So do you want to talk a little bit about the story before we get into the pros and cons?
Sure, yeah. So you're playing as May Borowski,
Like we said before, you dropped out of college and you go back to your hometown, basically.
Which is Possum Springs.
Possum Springs.
Nuke Possum Springs.
Yeah. And it used to be a coal town.
Yeah, like a mining town.
Coal mining town. But now it's economically declining.
Yeah. And May's in those awkward years where she's struggling to figure out how exactly she fits into the world. So after she drops out, she clearly wants to go back to things as they were before she left. But her friends, Greg, Angus, and Bea, are all kind of moving on with their lives.
Exactly. She's still trying to hold on to that youth.
Yeah.
She even like goes around town, talks to the teens and like the kids. And she's like, I'm not that much older than you, you know. And it's like, oh, May, don't be that person.
Yeah, she's trying to get back to where she was previously before she went to college. And
yeah.
I found her to be pretty relatable, at least in some ways.
Yeah, I think her and all of her friends are relatable in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they kind of remind me a little bit of my friend group.
Yeah, I can see that.
Anyway, so yeah, you pretty much just spend your first few days living at your house and hanging out with your friends.
Exploring, learning like the layout of the city. So the first real big thing where it's like, ooh, this might be a little creepy, is that you and your friends find an arm just laying on the street, not attached to anybody.
Yeah.
Just an arm.
And of course, you know, the reaction is appropriate, which is to poke it with the stick.
Yeah. Well, because May and her friends are weird. Like, that would not be my... I watch too much true crime. I'd be like, I can't tamper with the evidence. They're going to think I'm the killer.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're also teens. They're, like, close to teens. They're
yeah.
They're, like, 20.
Very,
so,
very early 20s. You know. So, yeah, you find the arm, and then you kind of go along hanging out with your friends. And then, like, the next major thing is on the Halloween festival.
Yeah. You kind of see, like, a kid get taken?
Yeah.
Kidnapped?
You see, like, the silhouette of, like, a kid being taken by a hooded figure.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah. And so you chase after him, and the hooded figure vanishes into the woods.
Mm-hmm. So from then on, you're kind of, like, on this mission to figure out if that was a ghost, if that was a person, what the heck's going on in your town.
Yeah, May's convinced it's a ghost, and her friends agree to help her, like, explore some ghost spots and research some ghosts and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's the main part of the game, is, like, trying to research and explore, like, what this person or ghost could be.
Also, like, during this time, May's mental health kind of starts to decline, so she starts having these really vivid dreams.
Mm-hmm.
That involve people playing instruments and you having to find them.
Yeah, she just looks tired all the time, even though she's sleeping. And you can definitely tell she's kind of like having some issues.
So eventually the four kind of stumble across this group of cloaked figures in the woods. After being discovered, the cloaked figures chase the four friends, and May ends up falling and lapses into a coma. And then after waking up from the coma, she like immediately goes to hang out with her friends.
Yeah.
I think her friends are all kind of like worried and grouped up together.
She was just like, peace out, mom and dad. Even though I was just in the hospital with a coma, gotta go hang with my friends. Sleep at their house.
You also kind of find out around this time that she has depersonalization disorder, which she tells to Greg, where she states that she sees objects and people as mere shapes and lines. And I'm not really very familiar with that disorder.
Me either. But it sounds kind of scary.
Yeah.
It sounds like she can lose control and not quite realize how much damage she might be doing to a person.
Well, I mean, it's happened before, right?
Exactly.
She attacked somebody
and
put him in the hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of has a history of like anger control issues.
The fact that she has friends is kind of crazy. I feel like it would be hard to have that many friends.
Yeah, true. But her friend group makes sense because they're already kind of the outcasts.
True.
And they're all kind of like, they're not necessarily violent, but they're kind of degenerates. You know, Greg is out committing crimes. B is more of the straight edge one, but
she's got family probs and like
everyone in the group pretty much has big issues.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe they're a little more forgiving, understanding than some other people.
Yeah. So after all that, May decides to venture out into the woods by herself. because she doesn't want her friends to be involved anymore.
Yeah, she's being very stubborn and rebellious at this point.
So she finds one of the cloaked figures and confronts them. But then, like, all of a sudden, the cloaked figure gets shot with a crossbow bolt from Greg, and your friends show up to help you.
Yeah.
So then you proceed to follow the hooded figure into an abandoned mine.
Yeah, because he runs off.
Where you meet a mysterious group who are revealed to be a cult. What does the cult do, Nikki?
They sacrifice people pretty much to keep the town, like, going and, well, like, being successful.
Well, who are they sacrificing? Like, the types of people?
Oh, just, like, the people that no one's gonna miss, basically. Which is kind of sad. But, like, homeless people, the town, kids who their parents kind of suck.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And they find out that they had taken one of their friends, Casey.
Mm-hmm.
So, for some reason, the cult decides just to let him leave, which never really made a whole lot of sense to me. They were like, okay, we know who you are. Like, if you tell anybody, we'll kill you, basically.
Yeah.
And you don't know who we are since we all have hoods on.
Yeah, I don't know. That part was a little weird.
Yeah. Like, you take the elevator back up the mine shaft or whatever. You're kind of standing there. One of the cult guys grabs May. And then at the same time, for some reason, the mine collapses, basically trapping all the cult members in the mine, whereas May and her friends get away.
Bye-bye, cult.
And then that's pretty much it. Like,
you live happily ever after.
Yeah, you wake up the next morning and you have band practice and you just kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the epilogue afterwards.
Well, it's kind of like you and your friends are closer. You come together. You've been through this thing. That's kind of what I took from it, is May's in a better place.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of going to move on together.
There are parts of the story I really liked, and then there are parts that were kind of like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that quite makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, moving on. Let's go into the pros and cons. So what's a pro you got, Nikki?
I think the animation style is really unique and different. It's 2D, kind of gives me like Adobe Illustrator vibes. Yeah, it just kind of looks different. It's kind of darker colors. Everything kind of lends itself to the story, and yeah, I just think it looks cool.
Yeah, just the level of detail in the art and animation is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go out into the town and stuff, you have like squirrels running around, birds flying, you have like everything going on, raccoons in the background.
Yeah.
Even just like when May is standing there, she'll do this thing where her ear will kind of twitch. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Just the little things with the animation is just really phenomenal. I love the animation.
Yeah. They pay attention to all the little details of everything, which is pretty cool.
So one of the things I liked was that on May's laptop, there's a game you can play called Demon Tower.
Mm-hmm. I know that was one of your favorite parts of the whole game.
It could honestly be a standalone game from this game.
That's what I thought, too.
If it had just gotten fleshed out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably my favorite part of this game, was that little mini game.
Yeah, I know you said you spent like 2 or 3 hours alone just trying to beat that game, right?
Yeah, I went back and played it again, and it only took me closer to 30 minutes to beat it.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. You gained a lot of skills.
Yeah, I mean, once you kind of figure out the patterns of the enemies, it gets a lot easier.
Yeah, for sure. All the characters in this story are great. They all have a lot of layers to them, and they all have like their own things they've been through and their own separate hobbies and everything. So it's like, even though they're a friend group, they're all pretty different, and they all go do their own stuff at certain points through the game. It just feels like authentic characters, like real friends in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
The real way that you kind of like piss each other off, but
exactly.
Then you kind of come back together in the end.
Where you kind of poke fun at each other. The writing for the dialogue is really good in this game. It's really funny. There's a lot of wit.
Yeah, a lot of quips.
Banter, yeah.
Just like nicknames and slang terms, and like, it feels very authentic.
Yeah.
And I also felt like the twists in the stories were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I didn't see the child kidnappings being a thing, and then I didn't see the cult being a thing.
Uh-huh.
Those both were pretty unexpected to me. Yeah. I thought it was going to be more of a metaphorical thing, not like a literal. But another thing I really liked was just the music. I thought was excellent.
Yeah, the music is really good in this game.
And then that kind of blends into this like rhythm mini game, where you kind of play bass for your band that's included, that I thought was pretty fun.
Kind of like a Guitar Hero-ish game.
Yeah, like kind of like a Bass Hero.
Yeah, Bass Hero. I like how inclusive the game is as far as genders, relationships, sexual orientations, that kind of thing. They're all animals, so like race and that kind of stuff doesn't really matter. But yeah, I think there's like a good amount of inclusivity with this game.
And they didn't like, there aren't really stereotypes too, which was nice.
Exactly, yeah.
They treated them like real people.
Yeah, and they weren't afraid to shy away from some more deep, harder to talk about issues, I think.
Yeah,
some of the characters.
Yeah, some mental health issues and some parental abuse issues and stuff like that.
Yeah, the game definitely gets deep, and I would definitely say that if you're thinking about playing it, just know that they address a lot of mental health issues in this game.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely think about that. Another thing is, like I said before, the amount of details are really cool, and something I thought was kind of funny in a way is, like, all of the townsfolk are animals. You have May is a cat, B is like an alligator, right? Yeah. Angus is a bear, and Greg is a fox.
Yep.
But then, like, May's walking down the street, she's a cat, but then you see like a regular cat walk by her.
Yeah.
Or you'll see a townsfolk person that's a bird, but then there's like birds flying around, real birds. So pretty much every character's animal you can spot at some point as a real animal in the game. And I just think that's funny and weird. And it just adds to the weirdness of this game.
It's like, yeah, why are there some animal creatures that are humanoid and some that are like the actual animals? Exactly. Them both existing in the same world is pretty funny.
Exactly. It's the whole like Disney Goofy versus Pluto thing, you know? Like, they're both dogs, but... very different. So, Eric, do you have any more things that you like about the game?
I think that's pretty much it for me.
Yeah, we can move on to the cons.
Do you want to start out?
Sure. I think the gameplay is a little slow-paced. It's more of a graphic novel or, what did you call it? A storybook game rather than an adventure game, I would say. So, I think it wasn't quite the kind of game I was hoping to pick. I was hoping to pick something a little more adventurous. But I still did like the game. It just wasn't what I was expecting. I thought there was going to be more mini games, more platforming.
Yeah, me too. And you put it a lot nicer than I had it. I said that it just the gameplay just wasn't really very fun, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Most of the game is just running around Possum Springs and talking to people and, like, commenting about things that you see. Also, you're basically taking the same paths around the city every day, so it starts to feel really tedious really quickly.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, every day you're pretty much running to talk to Greg at the gas station.
Yeah, go to the Falcon, Snack Falcon.
So he's, like, on the other end of town, so you have to, like, walk through the same screens, like, every single day.
Yeah. Very little variation with the map. The map's a little small. Yeah, and it does get just a little repetitive over time, for sure.
So one of my cons is that while I did overall like the story, there are times when it just definitely feels like it's dragging. Most of the game is really just character development, and the major plot points are like just the arm, the Halloween festival, and the end of the game.
Exactly.
That's pretty much... yeah. It as far as like crazy stuff happening. Most of the rest of the game is just you hanging out with your friends,
getting to know your friends more. Yeah.
While the character depth and development is there, it just, to me, like, it's just so slow paced. Like, I had a hard time sometimes staying awake while playing it.
Yeah, same. I could only play it for so long, and then I was like, would start to get a little drowsy, and I have to save it and take a break and come back to it later.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The platforming, like we said, is very low skill, not very challenging. But platforming, I feel like they could have made it a little more challenging, for sure. You have that triple jump, but it's about it. It's about as exciting as it gets.
There's not a lot of areas to platform either. That's what feels lacking to me.
Yeah, they set it up so you have all these layers. You have, like, the bottom layer of your town, and then you have a middle layer that you can get to with the power lines. And then you kind of have a top layer where you can sort of jump up on the buildings.
Yeah, the rooftops.
So I feel like they could have did a little bit more with the platforming, because in the dream levels where you're finding all the different parts of the band to complete the song, like there's these dreams that you have where you have to find all the band members and they're kind of spread out, and it's sort of like a puzzle. It's like, find the platforming direction that's going to get you to these characters. I feel like they could have used more of that platforming in the city.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that was a little more challenging and fun. I liked those.
I agree. Yeah. So you have the dream sequences. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it really is. That's kind of like the most platforming part of the game.
It's kind of like a puzzly platform.
Yeah. And those are okay. But yeah, you're really just trying to find specific things. You're not really, like, you know, dodging anything, or it's just very low key.
Yeah. Low key, low stress. Pretty chill game.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for that, this is great for you.
Yeah.
True. Well, low stress minus, like, all the mental health kind of darker issues. But, you know,
yeah.
As far as, like, gameplay goes, your heart rate's probably not going to get super amped up.
So one of my cons is, while there are mini games to kind of break up the story, most just aren't very well fleshed out. Like, you have Demon Tower and the rhythm music game, and those are, like, the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
All the other mini games are just really, really simple and, like, not that interesting.
Yeah. They kind of remind me of those games that you would play, like, on a website back in the day.
Yeah, exactly.
That were free. You know, it'd be like, oh, I'm going to throw this ball, hit it with a baseball bat. And that's the whole game. Yeah. Kind of stuff like that.
Yeah. It's just really basic stuff.
Yeah. I agree.
My final con is that there are points in the game where you go into this first person view that allows you to interact with some objects. Like, when you interact with the post board in town, you see, like, the flyers, you see a yarn ball,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of pick them up and put them down. The problem is that you can't really accomplish anything when you do this.
Yeah, there's no real reason to do it.
Yeah, it just doesn't do anything. Like, you can pick them up and put them back down. And then, like, I feel like that's a big missed opportunity. Like, you could have lifted a flyer and maybe found something behind it that was part of the story.
Yeah, I thought that too.
Like a note or a key or something.
Actually, I thought I was missing something. I played with that thing way too long. So I thought, I gotta be missing something. And then I was like, I think they just didn't do anything here. They just wanted to make it interactive. For what reason?
Yeah, there are other parts where you kind of go into that first person view too, like when you're opening that one window,
mm-hmm.
where it was like, okay, yeah, you're opening the window, but
why would that need to be first person view? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was the puzzle, was to open the window.
That would not call that a puzzle in any way.
Yeah, just this weird interactive part that felt unnecessary.
Yeah,
or something that they could have tried to do more with, like, you know, actually added a puzzly element to it.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's it. Yeah, those are my cons and your cons. Those are our cons together. All of our cons,
yeah.
You want to talk about strategy?
I don't think there's much strategy for this game. I mean, you're just walking around town, just exploring.
Yeah, I will say,
kind of look all over the place. That's really it.
Like, if you want to get into the back room with the safe, you definitely have to go through all your dad's dialogues to mm-hmm. get to it. So it's one of those where it's sometimes there are characters that have multiple dialogues, like after another, where you have to just talk to someone over and over again, especially with your mom and dad, where it was like every time you talk to them, you'll have like 3 or 4 dialogue rounds.
Mm-hmm. You just have to keep going until you don't see that speech bubble anymore.
Yeah, pretty much. It ends up being a lot, and it's like, maybe I don't want to, like, keep having these conversations.
I'm tired of this.
So my other bits of strategy are just based on Demon Tower.
I knew you were going to have some strategy for that.
So even though the rooms and enemies are randomized each time you die, or play a level or whatever, the path you would take to the key in the boss door doesn't change. So once you find the door where the key is, like, you can just keep going that same path every time. Same thing with where the boss room is. It doesn't change spots. So even though the rooms and the enemies change, like, those spots are the same each time.
That's not cool. I didn't realize that. Why did they not change that up? Is it that hard to move where the door is or the exit is?
No, I think it was more of a sympathetic thing. Like, hey, you don't have to keep looking everywhere for this door. Okay,
fine.
That was my guess. And then the other thing is just, I think I kind of already mentioned that there are certain attack patterns. And once you kind of figure out those attack patterns, you still might occasionally get hit, but it's a lot easier to dodge.
Mm-hmm.
Like the little arrow shooting guys, like, as soon as you see them, they'll quickly dash, shoot an arrow, and then pause. And that's the best time to hit them. Because after they pause for a second, they'll dash again and shoot another arrow.
Yeah. What do you get when you beat the game? I didn't beat it.
Just a entry in your journal.
Oh, okay. So if you're trying to get all the sketches. Oh, yeah, you have a journal where you write and draw little things in.
Yeah, I think we forgot to mention that.
We did. Yeah, you get those throughout the game, but that's probably a trophy people try to collect, I bet, trying to get all the pages in the notebook.
That might have related to the challenge you gave me, which was to play through it 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm pretty sure in order to get all the sketches, you probably had to do different orders of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have a lot of control over where this game goes other than, like, who you hang out with on a given night.
Yeah, that's really the only choices you get to make.
Yeah. Other than that, you're pretty much just along for the ride.
When I was looking up things about the game and trying to figure out the challenge, I thought that you had to play through the game 4 times to get through Act 4, and that was not the case.
No, it was not.
So I really just wanted you to get through Act 4 and finish the game, essentially, was my goal with that. But the way that it was worded on the website, it made it sound like you had to play through it several times. So I'm thinking that is true. What you said is, like, maybe you have to play through 3 or 4 times to get all of those sketches. And maybe you get something if you get all the sketches. But,
well, you were looking at the achievements when you gave me that. Mm-hmm. So that's probably what happened.
I was worried about finding too many spoilers for it. So that's my fault. So, Eric, did you play through this game 4 times?
No, I didn't.
But you did get through the 4th act and you beat the game and everything.
Yeah, I beat the game.
Yeah. Cool. Do you still want to wrap anyway? I mean, I'll let you choose. You can say no because, like, I kind of misworded it. So do you want to wrap anyway?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll honor the spirit of the podcast and I'll go ahead and wrap.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Hey, it's me with the MC. The inevitable Gregory Lee, low-key parking lot debris, on a crime spree to sightsee, the Snack Falcon MVP, take what you want for free, guarantee I'll never see 23, just Angus me and B, a detainee of Possum Springs, wish I could grow wings and sing to a different set of strings, clinging to the sound of burning this place to the ground, buck around with nukes inbound, crown of the radiated mound. Some days are up and some are down, like a toy that wasn't wound, or my sheep that came unbound, forever free and never found.
Whoa, good job, Eric.
Thanks. So, did you get it? Was from Greg's point of view? Well, I said I was Greg in the thing. So.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, cool.
You made all the hints, all the plot points in there. Yeah. Like, you hit on all the things. I liked it.
Cool. So, Nikki, were you able to find anything for the future from maybe, like, the developers, what they're doing after this?
Not really. There was supposed to be a sequel, but it was canceled due to several different reasons, health reasons, and the company went out of business and stuff like that.
Dang. That's actually pretty sad.
I don't think there is going to be much of a future for this game franchise or series, unfortunately. So I guess we'll see in the future if anything happens. But as far as right now, not really.
It's kind of a bummer, Nikki.
Sorry, man.
I was having a good night up until that point.
Well, you know what? I do have some good news for you.
You do?
Uh-huh. Our next episode, we got a special guest. And it's also our season finale.
Wow.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So we've got my friend from improv, Aaron McGeehee, nice. Coming on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We know and love Aaron here yeah. at Aaron the podcast. Is great. So, Eric, do you want to read the email that Aaron sent us so we know what game and challenge we're going to be doing?
Okay, so this is what Aaron says.
Okay.
I'm going to challenge you to complete Area 10 on Royal Match. You have to build out the whole scene by earning enough stars, beating enough levels to open Area 11.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's a tough enough challenge, but it is a hard game to figure out a challenge with. Signed, Aaron.
Yeah, I would imagine. So I know this is a mobile game, so I'm kind of excited about that because we can just play anywhere. We don't have to be at home. But I think it's like one of those match three kind of games, sort of like Candy Crush or something like that.
Bejeweled, right?
Or Bejeweled. So those don't really ever end. So I don't think she could be like, beat the game. So yeah, I'm sure it was kind of hard to come up with a challenge.
She could be like, beat the game, but that would be pretty cruel.
Yeah, that'd be like a challenge I would come up with. Well, anyways, I'm excited to have my friend on.
Nice.
And also excited for our season finale. So, yeah, till next time.
Yeah, me too. All right. Bye.
Bye. Like this podcast, if you like this episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. Any little thing helps us boost us up on the searches. And also check out our website at pressanybutton.net. You can listen to all of our raps, you can listen to past episodes, you could buy a t-shirt, so many things. All right, until next time, bye.